Hi, this is Peter Solomon for Jazz 88. I spent about 20 years living in Richmond, Virginia, and during my time there, I had a chance to get to know a guitarist and composer named Scott Burton. You could always count on Scott to be fresh and inventive with his music. He found inspiration in some eclectic places, too. I heard concerts devoted to John Carpenter's score for the Halloween movie franchise, a very cool project drawing inspiration from Italian crime films of the early 70s, and then there were collaborations with visual artists and spoken word artists, too.
Once in a red sun, I evaluate how the South was won. Godly power on earth.
About a year and a half ago, Scott relocated to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He's playing his first gig in Minneapolis Monday night, February 10th at Berlin with a new trio he calls Mantis. I caught up with Scott Burton recently via Skype to learn more. So tell me about the two musicians you're going to be performing with at Berlin.
I'm playing with two players in Eau Claire. Jeremy Betcher is the bassist, and then Sean Carey is the drummer. So Sean is actually my brother-in-law, which is part of what brought us out here. Obviously, we've worked together a lot. My wife's group, Lorray, that I play in, he produced our last album and played on it. You know, we've like collaborated a lot over the years. He's the drummer, and then Jeremy Betcher. Jeremy plays with Sean all the time. He's just an amazing bassist. Like, he can kind of do anything. And they've been really game to try anything. So it's been a lot of fun so far working with them.
So this trio that you put together is called Mantis. Can you talk a little bit about the approach that you take to the music?
Yeah, I'm always finding new ways to, like, approach improvisation and stuff. And this was more about, like, I've always been into the idea of having at least two timelines happening at the same time, like when you're listening to music. I think it's from, I've just been really inspired by like Anthony Braxton and Ken Vandermark and other musicians that work with like different meters happening at the same time, not like one tempo that everyone is following, but kind of like multiple things. And with this, I've been trying to combine that with more ambient music. It's a lot about writing pretty open-ended music that essentially has like melody, like, you know, some kind of sound world being created, but also the bass and drums interacting with it in different ways. So sometimes it'll be like a song will start and we'll be in two different places. So the bass and the drums will be playing a groove. The melody is kind of like in its own time. And sometimes we're all on the same page, but it's really more about setting up these like sound environments that people can interact in, but doing it as a trio, which is like tough because, you know, there's only three of us.
So how do you keep the music accessible? How do you keep it from just becoming a giant mess?
That's a very good question. I think that what we've done is, it's really about keeping the melodies pretty simple. I'm not trying to do any like really complicated like bebop melodies or anything that's like very notey. It's more about like trying to create like a memorable melody that you can expand on from there. So there's always some kind of melodic anchor to everything. And that's tough too with, because I know with playing ambient music, it's really easy to just like have it turn into just a big blob, you know, and then you're just like, what's going on there? That's all 12 notes right there. Yeah, they're all happening, you know? And so it is really like we focus on the melody, and anything that I'm doing to like build up some kind of a sound world is pretty measured. You know, it's not like all of a sudden it's just all the notes at the same time. So
yeah, I've noticed that your playing tends to be almost like, I mean, I can't really compare your music to Bill Frisell. It's entirely different, but there's a similarity in terms of the space.
It's a huge honor to even be brought up next to his name. But I mean, he's definitely been inspiring in that world. The way that more and more the collaboration sense, you know, where he can kind of do anything. And I've always tried to think like that. You know, you could kind of put me in any situation. And a lot of times the way to do that is leaving space. You know, you're just not like, if you come into a situation and you're just like playing with a singer, let's say, and I just start playing all these notes and don't acknowledge them, then it's like, it's hard to work with. But if you're listening and leaving space, I mean, I'm always attracted to that, like more interactive environments.
Now, I'm going to work a little bit backwards. You mentioned specifically a couple of musicians that are kind of iconic avant-garde players. Ken Vandermark is based in Chicago, and then you also talked about Anthony Braxton, and he's one of the guys that were kind of integral to the AACM, which was just like this banner avant-garde enclave in the 1960s, where a lot of great black musicians came through, like Lester Bowie and all the guys in the Art Ensemble of Chicago and George Lewis. Anthony Braxton has such interesting ideas. I was wondering, is there a particular recording or something that turned you on to Anthony Braxton, and something that you could send people towards if they're interested in that kind of thing?
Yeah, I will say his music is, on the outside, it looks very inaccessible. And that was something that took me a while to grasp. Like, I listened to his music and I was kind of like, I don't get it. I did the same thing with standards in jazz. Like, I you know, would listen to it, be like, I don't know what's going on. And then as I learned more, I really gained an appreciation for it. And with Braxton, there's a couple things, and some of this you can find pretty easily on Apple Music, but he's got a quartet recording. So his quartet in the 80s, which is him, Marilyn Crispell on piano, and then you've got Jerry Hemingway on drums, and Mark Dresser was one of the main bassists in that group. And they have a lot of live recordings from the 80s. There's one called Willisaw Quartet. It's a four-disc set, so it's four different sets. It's, when you look at it, you know, he's got all the like symbols and his titles. I mean, the thing that's funny is when you see it from the outside, it looks like, you know, this guy's like a math, I don't know what's happening, but he is like a pretty hilarious person. And a lot of that stuff, a lot of his song titles are pretty tongue in cheek, even if from the outside they look very, yeah, it looks like it's hard to understand.
Yeah, like he represents his songs with like geometric diagrams and numbers.
Totally, totally. And sometimes there'll be shapes, like he's obsessed with trains. And so there's like pictures of trains that'll be some of his things. But it's just like philosophically where he's coming from is very playful. And so when you listen to that, a lot of times you'll hear, similar to what I'm doing now, the piano player and the saxophone player playing one composition while the bass player and drummer play something totally different. And he's kind of taken that concept and grown it. But I would say Willisaw Quartet and then Forces in Motion, which is a book that you can find. It's about a journalist who follows him on a tour, and it's really great. I've reread that book a lot. And every time I read it, I get something new, because he's just touring Europe and he's constantly like, that's where he's kind of landing on the concepts of multiple things happening at the same time in one performance.
Now, with respect to Mantis, you sent me a sample of a live gig. I assume it was in Eau Claire. Are you guys planning on recording?
We're definitely, the goal for this year is to record. It's a fairly new project. And I mean, it's exciting to even be able to talk about it because it's so new. We started just playing. There's a venue here called the Lakely that has weekly jazz music. And we started just playing standards, you know, and not just like any standards, like it'd be like standards we've all played before. And it gradually turned into this. So we've, as Mantis, we've only played a couple of gigs, and we're, you know, I'm still writing songs for it. I've got a lot of songs from other like past ensembles that I've been arranging for the group. So yeah, we'll be recording this year and, you know, to be released probably the next year. Who knows when.
Scott, it's a pleasure talking to you. Scott Burton is a guitarist and composer who now lives in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He's playing at Berlin at 7 p.m. on February 10th. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.